A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Random House Audio presents Star Wars, Dark Nest 3, The Swarm War by Troy Denning. Read for you by Jonathan Davis. Star Pond had calmed into a dark mirror, and the caterbugs had fallen mysteriously silent. The entire Jedi Academy had descended into uneasy stillness, and Luke knew it was time. He ended the meditation with a breath, then unfolded his legs. He'd been floating cross-legged in the air, and lowered his feet to the pavilion floor. Mara was instantly at his side.
"How do you feel?"
Luke's entire body felt stiff and sore, his head was aching, and his hands were trembling. He tested his legs and found them a little wobbly.
"I'm fine," he said. "A little hungry, maybe."
"I'll bet." Continuing to hold his arm, Mara turned to leave the meditation pavilion.
"Let's get you something to eat, and some rest."
Luke did not follow her.
"I can last another hour."
Through the Force, he could feel nearly the entire Jedi Order gathered in the lecture hall, waiting to learn why he had summoned them.
"We need to do this now."
"Luke, you look like you've been hanging out in Wampa Caves again," Mara said.
"You need to rest."
"Mara, it's time," Luke insisted. "Is Ben there?"
"I don't know," Mara said.
"Does Ben really need to be a part of this?"
"Sorry, but I think he does," Luke said.
"Now that Jason has convinced him that it's safe to open himself to the Force, Ben will have to make the same decision as everyone else. All the students will." Mara frowned.
"Shouldn't the children wait until they're older?"
"We'll ask them again when they become apprentices," Luke said.
"I don't know whether I'm about to save the Jedi Order or destroy it."
"I do," Mara interrupted. "The Masters are pulling the Order in 10 different directions. You have to do this or they'll tear it apart."
"It certainly looks that way," Luke said.
With Corran Horn and Kip Duran at odds over the anti-Killick policies of the Galactic Alliance, it seemed as though every Master in the Order was trying to impose his or her own compromise on the Jedi.
"But whether this is successful or not, it's going to change the Jedi Order. If some students don't want to be a part of that, it's better for everyone to find out now."
Mara considered this, then sighed.
"I'll have Nana bring Ben over."
She pulled out her comlink and stepped to one side of the pavilion. "And I'll let Cam and Tian know you want the students there."
"Good. Thank you."
Luke continued to look out over the dark water. He'd spent the last week deep in meditation, sending a force call to the entire Jedi Order. It would have been easier to use the holonet, but many Jedi, such as Jaina and her team, were in places the holonet did not cover. Besides, Luke was trying to make a point, to subtly remind the rest of the Order that all Jedi answer to the same authority. And the strategy had worked. In every arm of the galaxy, Masters had suspended negotiations. Jedi Knights had dropped investigations. Apprentices had withdrawn from combat. There were a few Jedi stranded on remote worlds without transport, and a couple unable to suspend their activities without fatal consequences. But, for the most part, his summons had been honored. Only two Jedi Knights had willfully ignored his call, and their decision had surprised Luke less than it had hurt him. A familiar presence drew near on the path behind the meditation pavilion, and Luke spoke without turning around.
"Hello, Jason."
Jason stopped at the entrance to the pavilion.
"I'm sorry to disturb you."
Luke continued to look out on the pond.
"Come to explain why Jaina and Zek aren't here?"
"It's not their fault," Jason said, still behind Luke.
"We've had some, disagreements."
"Don't make excuses for them, Jason," Mara said, closing her comlink. If you felt Luke's summons, so did they.
It's not that simple, Jason said. They may have thought I was trying to trick them.
Luke finally turned around. Tessar and Lobaka didn't seem to think so. Luke had felt three other Jedi Knights return to Ossus along with Jason. Neither did Tahiri.
What can I say?
Jason spread his hands.
I'm not their brother.
Mara turned to Luke. Nana's on the way with Ben, and Cam says the students have all been waiting in the lecture hall since this morning.
Thanks.
Luke joined her and Jason at the rear of the pavilion, then gestured at the path leading toward the lecture hall.
Walk with us, Jason. We need to talk.
I know, Jason said, and fell in at Luke's side between him and Mara.
You must be furious about the raid on the Chiss supply depot.
I was, Luke admitted. But your aunt convinced me that if you were involved, there had to be a good reason.
I was more than involved, Jason said. It was my idea.
Your idea? Mara echoed.
Jason was silent a moment.
Finally, he said, I had a vision. He stopped and looked into the crown of a red-fronded DeBurgo tree.
I saw the Chiss launch a surprise attack against the Kylix.
And so you decided to provoke the Chiss just to be certain? Luke asked.
Surely it would have been better to warn the Kylix.
Jason's fear chilled the Force.
There was more, he said. I saw the Kylix mount a counterattack. The war spread to the Galactic Alliance.
And that's why you attacked the Chiss supply depot? Mara surmised.
To protect the Galactic Alliance?
Jason nodded.
I had to change the dynamics of the situation. If the war had started that way, it wouldn't have stopped. Ever.
He turned to Luke.
Uncle Luke, I saw the galaxy die.
An icy ball formed in Luke's stomach.
Die? Because the Chiss launched a surprise attack?
Jason nodded.
That's why I convinced Jaina and the others to help me, to prevent the surprise attack from happening.
I see. Luke fell quiet. They came to the Crooked Way, a serpentine path of rectangular stepping stones set askew to each other so that walkers would be forced to slow down and concentrate on their journey through the garden.
Jason, do you know that you prevented what you saw in your vision?
Luke asked.
Can you be certain that your own actions won't bring the vision to pass?
Is that a rhetorical question, Master? Jason asked.
Not entirely, Luke replied. I need to be sure I know everything.
Even Yoda didn't know everything, Jason said, smiling. But the future is still in motion, if that's what you're asking.
Thank you, Luke said. But I still wish you hadn't acted so forcefully.
I had to do something, Jason said. And when it comes to the future, Uncle Luke, don't we always plot the next jump blind?
We do, Luke said. That's why it's usually wise to be cautious.
I see. Jason glanced up the Crooked Way, where the steeply pitched roof of the lecture hall loomed behind a hedge of bamwood.
So you summoned the entire Jedi Order to Ossus to do something cautious?
Luke put on an exaggerated frown.
I said, usually, Jason.
He let out a melodramatic sigh to show that he wasn't truly angry, then said,
Go on ahead. I can see that you're a disrespectful young nephew who delights in embarrassing his elders.
Of course, Master. Jason smiled and bowed, then started up the Crooked Way. Luke watched him go, wondering whether the jump he was about to make with the future of the Order was any less bold or blind than the one his nephew had made in attacking the supply depot.
You have to do something, Mara said, and this is the best choice.
I know, Luke said.
That's what worries me.
Luke followed, taking his time, concentrating on the musky smell of the garden soil, deliberately focusing his thoughts on something other than the address he was about to give. By the time they reached the eastern gable of the lecture hall, a familiar calm had come over Luke. He slid open the instructor's door and led the way down a short wood-floored hallway. As they approached the sliding panel at the end, the Jedi on the other side sensed their presence, and the low murmur in the auditorium died away. Mara kissed Luke.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?